Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and besides reading, writing, and arithmetic, and everyone's obsession with the classes we now call STEM, should you teach your child to write computer code? Advocates of teaching code say it's not just another subject, it's not just about possible job opportunities in the tech sector, though it is about that. It's the difference between being empowered in the digital age or being acted upon by the corporate internet. So now we have coding as a second language. We have coding summer camp and more. Let's talk about teaching kids to code. With us is Michelle Davis, senior writer for Education Week Digital Directions. Welcome to WNYC, Michelle.
Thanks for having me on the program.
How fast are coding classes spreading?
They are definitely spreading, and I think part of it is due mostly to this organization, code.org, which is backed by the tech industry, which has just been having a huge push to get more coding classes into schools, more opportunities for students outside of school and in the summer, and for states to value coding classes like they value core classes like reading and math in terms of providing credits for students.
Parents, have you decided that it's important for your kids to learn to code? 212-433-WNYC. Any coding class parents out there? 212-433-9692. And if so, what's your goal? Is it computer literacy? You know, it's different than just teaching kids how to use software really well. This is how to write Angry Birds, not how to play Angry Birds, to put it really simply. 212-433-9692. Do you think this is about empowerment? Is this about engaged citizenship in the digital age? Is this about job prospects in the future primarily? What is this for you if you're a coding parent? 212-433-9692. And for Michelle Davis, senior writer for Education Week Digital Directions, how young are kids learning to code, Michelle?
Well, kids are getting started very, very early. There's a program for kids to learn to code called Scratch, and now they've created Scratch Junior, which is for 5 to 7-year-olds. I think some of these programs, even though, you know, we hear, as adults, we hear coding, and that sounds very complicated, a lot of these programs are based on the idea of games, and they don't use complicated language. They use cool animation. It's like playing a game, but it's teaching them the concepts of coding and sort of the basics of coding that as they get older and as they progress through this, they can learn some of the more complicated things, but it gives them sort of a basis to go from, that they understand sort of some of the key concepts involved.
And what is the educational rationale for all these coding classes? Is it purely job opportunities, or is it also to create empowered citizens in the digital era, the way I was, you know, characterizing it before, or other things?
Well, I think it's both of those things. I think the job opportunities is definitely a factor. Code.org, which, as I said before, has been a big driver of this, has a lot of slides on their website talking about the economic impact there and the kinds of jobs that will be available and the fact that they start at higher salaries than many other jobs. But I also think, you know, there's an aspect to this that, you know, coding is something that's at the basis of what most of us use every day, and most of us don't really know how to use it. So I think there is that whole concept and that whole part of, you know, being empowered and knowing what's going on when you click on the computer and you use some of these programs that you use every day.
Matt in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Matt.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. What you got?
Okay, well, I'm a product of the tech age. I was born in 1990, so I grew up around technology. I consider myself pretty computer literate, but I was never given any opportunities for a coding class or anything like that in any of my schooling. My sister, who's 6 years younger, or I'm sorry, 7 years younger than me, she's 16. She has been taking coding classes for the last 3 years, and I can already see the advantages she has over me. Just in terms of her computer literacy and the opportunity she's going to have once she graduates from high school and goes off to college and tries to enter the workforce. I mean, there's just so many more opportunities for her because she had those classes in high school that weren't even offered to me.
Matt, thank you very much. Judy in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Judy.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I have an 11-year-old son who has taught himself through the use of Code Academy. But what's interesting to me was that the driving force for him was actually video games. Surprisingly, Minecraft, which is the one and only game he's allowed to play, really intrigued him. He watched, you know, YouTube clips and players, and then somehow this drove a thirst in him to explore his own. And he's now exploring servers as well as coding. And like I mentioned, through Code Academy, he's really managed to learn lots of different languages. I have a seventh grader, and while we're looking at different high schools, he comes and joins us. And the first question he always asks when we go into any high school, do you have any coding classes? What do you do? What do you provide on the academic spectrum for children who want to have any computer and iTech knowledge? And I think that would be an amazing opportunity for children like him. I actually did my own little research trying to find little courses and stuff where he could join after school or otherwise, and I couldn't find, but it sounds like there are other authors out there who are interested as much as I am, and there seems to be a conversation going, which is, I think, is fantastic.
Great story. Judy, thank you.
I would like to chime in here because I think she makes a great point. There's this huge link between coding and video games, and I think a lot of schools are trying to entice students to schools that offer coding classes are trying to entice students to take these classes, saying, hey, learn how to make your own video game, not sort of advertising them, hey, we're having a coding class. This is, let's learn how to make your own video game, and the basis of that is how to learn to code. So I think this is a huge in for a lot of students, and it you know, the whole idea of coding for some students really scares them off, but if you market it as an offshoot of video games, it seems much more appealing.
Allison in Babylon, you're on WNYC. Hi, Allison.
Hi, good morning. I did contribute this morning finally, so I'm very happy to
thank you.
Be a member. And yes, my husband and I are both certified high school science teachers, and we are very much in enjoying tech in the classroom, but my husband's taken over his computer science club at his high school, and they use Code Academy. And it's just part of the culture. And I have an almost 2-year-old son, and I'm hoping that by the time he gets into elementary school, they're teaching coding so that I don't really see the point right now in spending time teaching cursive writing. I like him to learn how to write legibly, of course, but I think it's just the culture, and people just kind of need to shift with it and work with it because it is helpful. It is productive in education, especially in primary and secondary education.
So is it not just a vision for you of your 2-year-old potentially growing up to be able to get a computer industry job? You see it as somehow contributing to other aspects of his education?
Absolutely. No matter what he chooses to do, I mean, ideally, obviously, we'd like to see him go into the sciences, but he, you know, whether he's going to be an English writer or whatever, I know his life will be revolved around computers somehow. So it's just part of his – that's how he's going to grow up, I think. And I'm okay with that. I'm really excited for it. And I know he'll know more than me pretty soon. So.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And Michelle Davis from Education Week Digital Directions, she contrasted learning to code and cursive writing and saying that one was more important than the other. There are so many hours in a day. So do you think something else gets dropped when coding is introduced?
Well, that's been a big concern from some educators who have seen things get dropped along the way, first with No Child Left Behind, the federal law that puts a real emphasis only on reading and math and testing, those two subjects. There's been a big concern that science and social studies have gotten the short shrift because of that. Now, if you're going to add coding and give it the same weight as math and reading, there are some concerns. concerns out there that some of the things that are important for students to learn are going to fall by the wayside. I think one of the ways that some people have talked about incorporating coding is to incorporate it not just as a separate class, but as a complement to whatever you're working on in math or in social studies or whatever it is, that you can use coding concepts to create digital things that dovetail with what you're learning in those other courses. But I do think there is a big concern. There's only so many hours in the day, as you said, and there is a concern from educators that this is the latest trend, this is the latest fad, and some of the things that may have importance will drop off. And maybe there are some things that are not important, maybe cursive writing, but I think there's some concern that other things will be put on the back burner.
Robbie in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robbie.
Hi. I think coding is as fundamental as writing is, and it has the same artifacts as writing does. I mean, it expands your thinking. It sort of frames how you think, and coding does the exact same things. Especially because coding is not an activity by itself. If you're doing math, if you're doing science, if you're doing social sciences, you're doing journalism, you're doing any type of research or any type of work, you probably think in terms of the type of code that you're going to write to get the information that you need.
Well, maybe you do. But, Robbie, I wonder if you think there's going to be less of a distinction in the work world in the future between people who write code, who are, you know, seen as the certain high priests of technology in the way things have been, the distinction between them and then the people who use the programs, the people who just, you know, write on Microsoft Word or play any of the video games. Do you think there's going to be less of a distinction that in all kinds of jobs that aren't tech code writing jobs per se, that code writing would become a part of those jobs?
Yes, I mean, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. I mean, I think this distinction is artificial and only because and it exists only because we are kind of early into this whole process
of teaching people to code on a widespread basis. Thank you very much. So to wrap this up, Michelle Davis from Education Week Digital Directions, kind of the same question. You know, are we entering a world that's different from, say, there are people who design your car and all you have to do is learn how to drive your car, and the world of coding where jobs are going to have, you know, writing code, creating computer programs as integral to many of the things that people do in other fields?
I think that is going to happen. I think there are, you know, there are going to be many jobs where you don't have to necessarily be an expert coder, but you have to understand some basics to do your job. But I think one of the things we need to keep in mind as we're having this discussion is that, you know, coding is becoming more popular. It is going into more places. But there are many, many schools and many, many school districts where there is no coding and there aren't those opportunities for students because there's not a trained teacher, because they don't have enough computers. So while there is a segment of society that's having access to coding and getting this information, there's quite a lot of students who are not having access to that. And I think that sets up sort of have and have not situation in terms of information there.
So there's a new education equality movement too, which is to make sure that there are coding classes in all strata of society.
Yeah.
Michelle Davis, senior writer for Education Week Digital Directions. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Justin Davidson's personal and sensitive review of the 9/11 Museum, which, of course, opened yesterday. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.